Psalms chapter 119, if you'd stand with me. I do appreciate the Sunday school. Thank you, Brother Chris. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you. Thank you for teaching and thank you for preaching. And thank you for just being available. Thank you for being a friend. Well, he's worked like a Trojan at my house. I'll never, ever be able to pay him back for what he's done for me and my wife, because my wife seems to be happy with only one end of the house done. I can't wait to see how she acts when the whole thing's finished. Well, Katie bar the door. Psalm chapter 119, verse number 30. Some of you were thinking, are we going back to verse 65? Been good? It's been good, wasn't it? But verse 30, the psalmist is making a statement that you and I should make. From time to time, we see things and we experience things that lets us know that we might not be as close to being on track in the Christian life as we should be. Sometimes God will let something happen, the Holy Ghost pours something out, and you kind of slacken. You kind of slacken in that one little area. You're doing real good over here, but anybody know what I'm talking about? Like somebody gets up there and preaches and they might mention prayer and you're thinking, oh man, I haven't been praying like I should be. Brother Leo put it on the sign. Just a few little words. I got to think in my mind, it had to be quite convicting. Scrolling on the sign out front out there. All it says is this. Brother Justin just says, have you prayed today? I wonder how many people's rode by and seen that. Have you prayed today? And they think, oh man, I ain't even prayed this morning. And immediately, even though they're driving, they go to talking to God. And would somebody say that's a good thing?
Yes, sir.
To talk to the Lord?
Yes.
The Bible says this in verse number 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of commandment of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. That's a pretty powerful statement the psalmist is making. Boy, are you like me when you hear somebody make a powerful statement? I hope they can do it. I've heard people say things in church. I'm back in, preacher. I ain't going nowhere. I'm thinking, oh boy. Oh. I don't say that out loud. I don't say that out loud, Brother Darnell. But in my heart, I'm going, oh, watch out. Careful, careful. God forgive them. They're making some statements that's mighty hard to keep up. Father, I pray you'd help me now, Lord. You know I need you. God, my heart. This morning, God, my heart needs you. Lord, you know what's on my heart and on my mind. God, help me, I pray. Thank you for these good folks that's prayed for me already this morning. I can't imagine what it'd be like without their prayers. God, please, this morning I ask you, touch me. And use me for your glory. And we'll thank you. I pray, God, everything that comes out of my mouth will magnify you. I pray, God, that everything that we do, I'm praying that the good songs we sung, glory to his name. Oh, I'm praying, God, that it magnified your name this morning. Glory to your name. Down at the cross, Oh, God, where it all started, down at the cross. I want to give you glory. Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross. Help me, I pray, oh, God. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. And amen. I'd like to preach, if I could, for a little while on this thought that you don't see hardly anymore in this world we live in. And that's on Christian commitment. Christian commitment. Probably somewhere along your life's way, you are committed to something. And it may be that you're committed to your spouse. It might be that you're committed to your work. And it might be that you're committed to your entertainment, to your hobbies. But I want to talk about Christian commitment. Christian commitment. Christian commitment requires some things that has to happen before you'll ever satisfy God. You say, well, I thought when I got saved. I'm talking about as a Christian. I'm not talking about in your salvation. I'm not talking about obtaining your salvation. I know this, and you know this. We've all read this together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by? You've got to go by Him. Now, you pray for some things, and I pray for some things, and it might be we're praying for the same thing, but we're probably praying a different way. I might be asking for God to do one thing in your life, and you might be asking God to do the same thing, but you're saying it with a different terminology. Wording. Wording is something that can easily turn people around. I've been to churches before. I've been in preaching meetings before where a preacher get up and preach, and well, the whole time he's preaching, I needed a dictionary. I couldn't understand a lot of what he was saying. I'm thinking, he was a doctor all right, but he should have been a medical doctor because nobody understands what he's saying but the nurses. The word committed, Christian commitment, committed. I looked it up. I thought, wow, that'd be an unusual thought. See what maybe the internet, if you will, though. What the world thinks about. That's pretty much what the internet is. Compiling of the world's thoughts. Isn't that right? It says to commit is to give entirely to a specific person, activity, or cause. It says she committed herself to the work of God. It says give one's talents to a good cause. Committing. Committing. To consecrate your life to the church. Wow. Wow. The world said that? Wow. Dedicate. Devote. Consecrate. Give. Dedicate. Commit. I want to talk about Christian commitment. It's easy to commit to things that we like. But when I got saved at 16 years old, my flesh did not want to humble itself in the presence of so many people. Under conviction, standing in a row of chairs, I didn't want to walk forward. I resisted, if you will, the Holy Ghost. People said, hey, you can't resist the Holy Ghost. Well, God convicted me on Wednesday and I didn't get saved. I'd call that resisting. And why didn't you get saved? I was scared to death. I was scared if I walked down there, I was scared that people would say, hey, he's just no sinner. And they'd right. Like when you come to pray, if you want to come pray in the altar, everybody's always welcome. The altar is always open. And somebody asked me one time, said, do y'all have a lot of people go to the altars and pray in your invitation? I said, most of our folk prays before church starts. Good. During the song service, they're in the altar praying. And I'd say that's wise to do. It's better to be right with God before it ever gets started so you can enjoy the services. But it's okay to pray during the invitation also. Because you never know, there may be somebody that's here that's not saved. They've never, ever bowed their heart before God. I'm not talking about religious now. But they've never, ever bowed their heart before God and said, God, I'm a sinner and I'm not wanting to join the church. They might have never said, God, I'm a sinner and I've got no good works to give. They might have said, God, I'm a sinner and I don't have no money. But they could say, God, I'm a sinner and there's no way I can get to heaven except through you. And you'd be right. You'd be right. But David makes the commitment right here. And if you'll read the beginning of Psalms 119. He starts it off in verse 1. He said, blessed are the undefiled who walk in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. David is laying out a format of folk that are literally wanting to commit themselves unto the Lord. And by the time he gets down in verse 11, he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. David got to a place where David was acknowledging his personal state. And then David had to get to a place where he was willing to tell God, this is what I'd like to do for you. Have you ever just prayed and said, Lord, I'd like to be a soul-winning a person that would glorify you. I'd like to be a prayer warrior, God, that will magnify you. You know, most of the time, all the things that we want to be don't amount to nothing. All the things that we see that we think, well, I'd like to be like that. We've been, me and Brother Chris has been working these past couple of weeks, and this week in the evenings, we watch a little bit of that golf tournament that's on over there. And we see them boys hitting them golf balls, and man, I tell you what, they're machines. They're just owning in on the focal point, and it's real hard to look at that knowing that I'm not like that. But it's real hard to look at that. Them guys making them hitting out of the sand straight into the cup. I'm thinking, man, I'd have to have a cup the size of a washtub or a swimming pool. Yeah, man. Have to have a big hole in the ground. But you know, it's real hard to see that and not to want to be like that. But those people are one of just not even a one percentile of the golfers that are out there. Those folk that play on the basketball court. What's the percentage of people that play basketball are Michael Jordan or a Larry Bird? What's the percentage of people that play football? I'm gonna go back a little bit, Brother Darnell. You might need to help me a little bit. Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's more in here. Amen. Yeah. Y'all knew who Earl Campbell was. That's good. He's probably one of the greatest running backs football's ever seen. Burned him out. But it couldn't stop him. Amen. I'm just saying a small percentage of the people. But how many people could be D.L. Moody's? How many people could be the Fanny Crosby? How many people could... it's going to take commitments, what it's going to take, that's all. The reason Earl Campbell was the football player he was he committed himself to that sport. Amen. The reason that Michael Jordan and Larry Bird were what they were, because they committed themselves to that game and they practiced day in and day out. Did you know this morning before most of us got out of bed, there was men standing out there in Jacksonville, Florida, hitting golf balls, getting ready for today? They was out there practicing already. I thought, praise God, I'm glad that's you and not me. I'm sitting on the couch drinking hot coffee. Amen. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. But there's some things in the Christian life that if we don't have this commitment, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, down the road, you will be a has-been. If you don't give it all while you're young, young people, if you don't give God everything, and I mean sell out now, you're going to be a has-been when you get older. And you want to be a real knot in your stomach? You get to be a has-been Christian and then get around a preacher. I experience that sometimes. Sometimes I get around people that used to be sold out, love God, sing Amazing Grace, and you see them go to weeping. I'd say, Brother Alex, I'd say, give a word of testimony. And boy, they stand up, they say, man, I don't know what to say except God's just been good and I love Him and blah, blah. You know, just bragging on the Lord and now there's something on the outside that ain't matching what they said was on the inside. I see some people sometimes they get all dressed up and they dress up for special occasions. I don't recognize them if I don't see all the tattoos they got. So you don't like tattoos? I think it's a waste of money. People get tattoos. They'll get tattoos. They come to the preacher and want to borrow money. I need some food, Brother Edward. You got some money? I said, go cash your tattoo in. Hey man, go take that. That pen out of your head and out of your nose or whatever it is. Go cash it in. But then I'll have a stick some Bondo back in there. A good body shop knows how to fix stuff like that. Amen. Put a Band-Aid on it. Whatever. Hey, we ought to think about stuff like that, and if you're committed, you do. But if you're not committed, you think like the world thinks. Hang on. I want to talk about some Christian commitment. Number one, you got to make a decision to live for God. You got to make a decision to do it. You got to make a decision. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to raise my children for God. My wife's going to live for God. My husband's going to live for God. But you can't make nobody live for God. No, you can't make nobody, but you can sure be a good example around them. Amen. Hey, Brother Josh, ain't you glad that you got a mom and dad that's just stayed by the stuff? I mean, ever since you was little, they loved God and served the Lord and lived for God. And if there was ever a time you needed them, you knew where a godly mom and daddy was. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Listen, my youngest, I love my kids to death. I mean, they don't have no idea what the spot is in my heart I have for them. And they're always... But Jared's always said, Dad, why don't you do this? Why don't you build that? If it left up to Jared, we'd have a gymnasium. We'd have everything in the world that you could put on church property, and we wouldn't have no place to park. No place. All that stuff sounds good. I'm not against it. Hey, I think kids ought to have a place they can go into the church and play ball and have a good time and fellowship. And fellowship. And fellowship. Fellowship. You know, most of these kids come to church here, they'll be back tonight. And most of them that's here will be back Wednesday night. I mean, they're not as bad as what you might think. Thank God they're at church. Amen. Listen up, girls. Listen up now. I'm just trying to say, in the house of God, it's a good place. It's a good place to come to the house of God. And these kids ain't all going to hell. Amen. There's some of them saved. And thank God they're getting a little something. And we're trying to teach them how to be committed in a Christian life. Just trying to teach them how to be committed. Boy, don't you wish somebody would have taught you when you were young? Don't you wish somebody would have spent some time with you and said, hey, I'm telling you, if you're going to live a Christian life, if you're going to be committed, you better get off on the right foot and don't hang around that crowd out there. You know, sometimes you can tell them not to hang around that crowd. It don't do no good. You wasted your breath. So you got to use force. Force. Well, I mean, you know how my kids are. I mean, they got their friends out there. Well, don't let them be friends. Don't let them go with them. My wife used to tell me, she said, her dad, when she was coming up, her dad was real strict. He was. I knew him well. Yeah, I knew him well. And nobody liked him. Amen. All the kids were scared of him. And, you know, he's one of them men, he walked in the room, all the kids go. And I think he done it just for spite. He just looked at him and go. Just to intimidate. Just to never let that guard down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. And faith would say, can I have somebody, can I go spend the night? Or could I have somebody come spend the night? He'd say, no. I don't know them. And we turn our kids loose to the world. Are you listening to me? You listen to me? You know why? You know why we turn? Hey, Bud Jeff, you know why we turn loose to the world? Because we're not committed. You've got to be committed to raising your children right. You've got to be committed to walking right. The psalmist said right here, I have chosen the way of truth. I mean, this way I'm going in, it's the way of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I promise you this, if you choose the way of truth, you'll never do nothing to embarrass the Lord. If you choose the way of truth, you'll make the right decisions. Yeah, man. You won't. Hey, you won't get caught down there at the parlor getting a Mickey Mouse put on your shoulder blade. Yeah, man. If you got a Mickey Mouse on your shoulder blade, I didn't know it. Amen. Amen. But I tell you this, Mickey at 25 will look like more like Goofy at about 40. Amen. Amen. And he said, Brother Everett, that stuff don't help me. Sure it does. I'm trying to encourage you to be committed. Committed. Guard yourself. I'm thinking about somebody that was committed here this morning. I'm thinking about somebody that would not compromise. Somebody that had conviction. Somebody that had principles in his life. Over in the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 21. In chapter number 21, there was a man named Naboth. And Ahab wanted his vineyard. And hey, listen. He wanted it because he wanted everything around him. That's the way the devil is, friend. Listen to me real close right here. That's the way the devil is. He just wants everything around him. Amen. Whenever he shows up, and he might not show up in his own form, in his own manner, he might show up in the life of somebody else. And whenever he gets around, get on this one here. And the next thing you know, this one here is after this one. And this one, he might get on this one here, and this one here will be after this one. I mean, just everything around him. He wanted, Abraham just wanted everything. That's why when I was talking about Jared wanting to draw stuff, well, I said, son, all that stuff sounds good in your mind, but if you'll sit down and think a little bit, time's going to pass and it won't be that big a deal. People try to get me to change my mind about stuff. I'd say, you go ahead and change. I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Yeah, man. You just go ahead and help yourself. And let's see how much joy you got 15, 20, 30 years from now if you're still serving God, if you're still in church, because you didn't make a commitment a long time ago to stay with God and stay with His ways and stay with His Word. I'm telling you, we just got to make a commitment as a child of God to get in. Amen. Just get in the water. You ain't a swimmer standing on the bank. You got to get in.
Amen.
You got to get in. I seen old Ahab over there. Ahab goes to Naboth and says, hey, I want your vineyard. You know what I think about Naboth? I think he was a Christian man.
Amen.
For that time frame. I understand. Don't come to me at church saying, Jesus wasn't born yet. I know. Well, I might take you back a little further than that and let you know where Jesus really was.
Amen.
Amen. And so anyway, as we get back over here to Naboth, and we see how that he, Ahab says, hey, I want your vineyard. And Naboth says, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah God forbid it. You know what he's saying? Hey, I got some convictions about the standards I was raised up in. I bet old Naboth's daddy probably left him off when he passed. I bet he said something like this. Son, remember, what I've given you, I've worked hard for. You know why? You know why we got a different kind of church on every corner in St. Mary's, Georgia? You know why we got a different church on every corner in Jacksonville, Florida? You know why we got a different kind of... Because somebody walked away from what the truth was. Somebody says, I like everything except this here. I like everything except that. But I'm telling you, if you get committed, listen to me, if you get committed when you're real young and give your heart to the Lord and just jump in neck deep and say, I don't care if it here lives the devil, I'm going to stay where I'm at for God. I'm going to stay. He's committed. He made a decision a long time ago. Look here. Verse number 30. He says it right here. I have chosen the way of truth. Not only have you chosen, he says, thy judgments have I laid before me. Looks to me like, help me if you can. Looks to me like, just in case, there was a time that I was thinking about slipping away from God. I was thinking, listen, don't you tell me that God, the devil don't ever tempt you. Don't you tell me the devil don't never tempt you to want to slip out and get out there it's our anniversary, just a Saturday night. Wouldn't be wrong on Saturday night. Well, I tell you, wouldn't be wrong on Saturday night for me and my wife, married 35 years, just to, you know, go out to a nice steakhouse. And you've got to go to a nice steakhouse and have a little drink. What'd be wrong with that? 35 years. Come on, Sister Mary, you're shaking your head. No, come on now. 35 years. What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong? I mean, just a little alcohol for thy stomach's sake. Everybody wants to be reminded of that. That's what's in the Bible. It says it in the Bible. Does it say it? A little wine for thy stomach's sake? Does it say it? All right, I'm going to make sure I hadn't read put something in there that wasn't true. I tell you what would be wrong with that. You ain't going to believe this. Sure as you do it, number one, you know you're wrong. God would have never given Solomon so much to write about wine and told him to put it in the holy, pure, undefiled Word of God.
Yeah.
If it wasn't so.
That's right. Amen.
Say, well, that's your opinion about wine. You want to break down what? Why, the fruit of the cluster or the fermented kind?
Yep.
That's the only two wines available, from best my understanding.
That's right.
Did I ever tell you I just hate liquor? I did. Good. I wanted to just remind you of that in case I slipped on it one time.
Yeah, amen,
brother. That's right. I hate it. You know why people will drink it that's not saved? That's just saved? Because they're not committed.
Right.
They're not committed. Amen. You know what happened to me, Brother Gary? Me and my wife, 35 years, said we're going to go to a steakhouse. I could go to a steakhouse in Miami Beach, Florida. I said, we're going to get away, and we're going to go down there. I promise you this. Somebody would show up in that restaurant.
Yep.
Don't you stand up and holler amen. Not that I've done that to him. And I was just talking about that. But I was with him. And we walked up on it. And boy, did somebody get nervous. Ooh. Ooh. So, to keep that from happening, the psalmist said, thy judgments... Here we go. Here we go. Thy judgments have I laid before me. You know what he's there for? So he wouldn't forget. So he wouldn't forget. Sometimes we're not committed like we need to be. It's easy to forget, Brother Darnell. I appreciate you testifying like you do. And bringing to remembrance the day that you got saved. Well, I know the devil gets on you about it. But I want you to know I appreciate it. Not one time, but every time. The decision to live for God. Don't you notice? There's a determination to live for God. What have I got to do to make sure I am going to be committed? You got to be determined. You got to be determined. I'm determined. Have you ever been determined by anything? I mean, your mind was made up. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I mean, listen, this work we're doing on our house, I have put off and put off and put off until I could put off no longer. But I wasn't putting off, Brother Gary, because I didn't want to do it. I was putting off because I didn't know how to do it. And so I said, the best thing for me to do is to try to work and to save and get somebody that knows what they're doing. And I'm determined now that we're going to do it. We had to kind of get some things in order. It's like whenever you surrender to preach. It's like some decisions that you had to make along the Christian life. You say, Brother Edward, I'm having to make some decisions. And listen, every person, me, you, everybody you've ever met has made right decisions and wrong decisions. When you make a wrong decision, just admit it. Don't let pride get in the way. Just admit it. I remember Jared surrendered to preach the first time. Most people get saved. And they say, well, the first time I got saved. And what they mean is the first profession that they made. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Jared, the first time that he surrendered to preach, he preached over Brother Joe's. And boy, he just got up there and he'd been around preaching long enough all his life. He knew how to preach. Hey, a lot of preachers know how to preach. Now they need to be saved. Would you agree with that? I mean, they need to be totally committed. And he got up there, and boy, I mean, he just going on, hacking a little bit, doing everything. And oh, Brother Joe's shouting. Brother Joe would have shouted if Jared would have jumped up and said, I love peanut butter sandwiches. Brother Joe's just shouting down right there. Yeah, amen, son. That's good. That's good. And then not long after that, Jared got saved. He said, Dad, I hate to go back up to Brother Joe's. I said, why? They said, I told him I was saved already. You know what? Something pierced him in the heart. I said, son, Brother Joe understands that. I said, you just go ahead and get committed. Make that commitment. Make that commitment that I'm going to be what I'm telling people I am. Huh? We're living in a world now. Folk, even married folk ain't even committed. I mean, I find out stuff all the time I didn't know about. All the time. People tell me, they say, did you know this? I said, what? We went on a Christian cruise. And come back, I didn't know this. Brother Glenn, it don't make no difference. I'm not going to be involved. We went on a Christian cruise. No drinking, no gambling. Smoking was only from people from the north. And just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, just kidding. People from the north smoke. People from the south chew. I know. Now, again, please don't come to this church. I got enough I'm fighting with this morning already, okay? But listen, I find out they have cruises
for swingers. I don't know. Was y'all there whenever, what's your friend, Kristen, was telling us about that? They had heard that. I said, a swinger, like a swing set. Now, you need to get back. Now, I don't want to get back. I don't want to. No. Committed. I told Brother Bradley, I said, now, Bradley, whenever you get ready to find your wife, let me know and I'll help you. I asked him one day, I said, you looking for a wife? He said, no, sir. I said, I'm waiting on you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, amen. We'll see how committed he is. Well, you're in church this morning. How's this past week been for you? You determined? You determined with all the temptations the devil's brought your way? Are you determined you're going to say no to those things that you were determined against? Here's what he said in the last second part of that verse right there. He said, oh Lord, no, he says, I have, first part, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. Have you ever got stuck to something? You know what I hate? Super glue. Has anybody ever got super glue on you and couldn't get it loose? I seen a video one time of a young man in the Arctic cold, somewhere up north where it's really cold and, you know, the ice and snow. And he stuck his tongue to a flagpole. And he was stuck. So, wow, well, I feel sorry for this. Not me. I don't feel sorry if nobody does something dumb like that. Do you? I mean, who tells people to stick their tongue to a flagpole knowing, and then they do it? Or just in your workings with your super glue, fixing your favorite coffee mug or whatever it is, the favorite whatever. There used to be a commercial on TV one time that was advertised as super glue, and it was, boy, such an encouraging commercial. I mean, it's like, wow, this stuff's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. They had a crane. Anybody remember seeing a super glue with a crane? And then the crane's hanging down to a piece of wood or something. They put one drop of super glue on the end of the wood and touch a car and pick the car up, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, that we could be that stuck onto our determinations of living for God.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody? Has anybody tried it? Has anybody tried sticking a screwdriver between your fingers? If there's anything that'll separate that besides time and soap and water, and is there anything? Acetone. Anybody here got any acetone at your house? Glenn Bennett. Y'all got acetone, y'all, sir? You probably put it on a cloth and stick it up Gary's mouth while he's breathing, don't you? Not the average person. I'm just saying, boy, how stuck a little subject can make something be, and how hard to break away. That's what should have happened to you and I when we got saved. We got so stuck on Jesus. We got so stuck on His ways that any temptation that comes our way, we could not be pried away from Him. Stuck to Jesus. Stuck to Jesus. He's made a decision. He's made a determination. And now, if you look in verse number 32, Come to the piano if you would, somebody. I don't care. We see that he's made a decision. Verse 30, I've chosen the way of the truth. We see his determination. I've stuck unto thy testimonies. But don't you notice this? He says, I have a desire to live for God. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments. Have you ever, as a child of God, listen, friend, if there's anything, listen up real close, if there's anything the devil wants to do to you, it's to make you trip. Have you ever seen somebody, maybe a kid running or a little baby, and they fall down and first thing you worry about, they got hurt. But then when you see they're not hurt no more, you tell everybody, that's a crazy youngin' right there. Just before church, just between Sunday school and church, wasn't it? And it was, we're standing out there, Brother Glenn, I think Brother Glenn and Sister Tiffany were standing, and Jeff climbed up to about the fifth or sixth step. And he's standing up there, and you can see it on his face. You know what it said? Jump. Sister Tiffany tried to stop him. She says, huh, Jeff, don't do it. Boom, too late. He come all the way down. There are going to be some times in your life as a Christian, you'll remember what you're not supposed to do, but the devil's going to tempt you to do it anyway. Well, think it not strange concerning the fire trials which are sent to try you, as though some strange thing. But think it strange when you're tempted so and you do it anyway. That's a good time to think it strange. I'm telling you, we're just looking at a committed man here. He's committed. You know what you and I should have? A committed Christian life. Can I tell you something to help you? Friend, listen, mom and dad, got little children. Commit yourselves unto the Lord and raise your children in the house of God. Understand, they're children. They're not Jesus. They'll lie. They'll deceive us. How do you know? Well, I had three and I was one myself one time. I got four witnesses right here. And then there's my wife. I ain't gonna get in her life. I'm just saying, commitment. 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 Nobody's perfect. But when you really want to start veering from being committed, you'll start looking at everybody else and say, hey, they're not as good as me. I'm the one they should be looking at. Can I tell you this? I'm the last one I want you looking at. I said, but you're the pastor. I don't want you judging your life. We've got a book and we've got a God. And if you can't go by what that book says, about what God speaks to your heart about, or you'll never be committed as a Christian. Never, let's all stand together. Maybe this morning you might just want to say, Lord, I want to be committed. Let me say this. Verse number 32. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know, we're wanting more. I want to preach more. Preacher, I want to preach more. I want a church. I want a ministry. I want to sing more. I want to testify. God will never, hear me, friend, God will never enlarge your horizon until he enlarges your heart. He's never going to give you a vision for another ministry. He's never going to do anything big in your home, in your family, until that heart gets right with him. Until then, I say this this morning. If there's anything I believe He wants out of us for then, to be committed. And maybe you hear it and you might say, "Preacher, I've never asked Him to save me." I mean, listen, I'm not talking about church membership, Brother Tracy. I'm not talking about being raised in a religion. I'm not talking about stuff like that. Okay? I think it's a wonderful thing to be raised in church. I think it's a wonderful thing to have a local assembly that you can go to and worship God in.
Amen.
I think it's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what leads to heaven.
Amen.
Right. On your behalf, there was a man that died. On your behalf.
Amen.
And He shed His blood. Wow. Isn't that amazing? I hear about people dying these horrific deaths. A lot of times, Brother Jeremy, they're dying in vain. It was because of foolishness. It was an accident. I watched a video last night of a man riding a motorcycle, and literally, he's laying down backwards on the motorcycle. He can't even see where he's going. But Jeff, you know how tragic a motorcycle crash can be, don't you? Buried his brother. I'm saying some things are just foolish. I'm not saying he was doing that, but I'm just saying sometimes our commitment is not wholly for the right purpose. So I want to be a good mama. Praise the Lord. Be a good mama then.
Yeah.
I want to be a good daddy. Praise the Lord. Be a good daddy.
Amen.
I want to be a good grandpa and a good grandma. Praise the Lord. Be a good one. Be committed about it. Do it right. Do it for God. You got the precepts laid out before you right there.
Amen.
Do it for God. Do it for God. I want to be a good husband, a good wife. Do it for God. Do it right.
Amen.
Be committed. Let's bow our heads, please.